Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service. Well, good morning and welcome to Kairos Church. My name is Lindsay Slocum. I'm the lead pastor here, and I am delighted to see you this morning. I've been looking forward to worshiping with you this morning, so thank you for being here. This morning, we're starting a new sermon series. You know, we talk a lot around here about encouraging one another daily to live and love like Jesus. So we were thinking, how do we know how to live and love like Jesus if we don't know what it is that Jesus has said about anything? And so we're going to take the next couple weeks to look at what does Jesus say about a variety of topics. This morning we're going to look at salvation, we're going to look at money next week, we're going to look at the rulers of the world. What does Jesus say about these everyday things that we are interacting with on a regular basis? So this morning we're going to look in the Gospel of John to see what Jesus has to say, but before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day, for this opportunity to worship together. So God, we pray that you would be present here now, Lord, that we would feel your presence among us, that you would move and speak and work and mold and shape us, Lord, that we would be the people you desire for us to be. Draw close, dear God. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I'd invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. This comes from John chapter 14. I'm going to read the first seven verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I went to a really lovely, wonderful, small liberal arts school for college. I went there for several reasons. One is that it had this Christian education, religion major that I was really excited about. But it also had a lot of opportunities for me to continue to explore my faith. And so as soon as I got to campus, I joined a bunch of Bible studies and two different religious organizations. But one of the religious organizations that I joined started asking me questions nobody's ever asked me before. There seemed to be some concern about my eternal salvation. The way this club worked, that there were some older college students and that they would spend time with us, younger college students. And so we got together and she's asking me questions. She asked me about my faith story and I'm telling her, oh my goodness, the gift that I have is I really think there's never been a day I didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She said, yeah, but when did you start believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I said, no, listen, I'm telling you, I was so lucky. I grew up with parents who loved Jesus. They took me to a church that taught me to love Jesus. I don't think there was a day that I don't remember a day I didn't love Jesus. She said, no. If you don't have a day that you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then maybe you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then how do you know if you're going to heaven? I was fairly confused at this point in time. How did this person know if I was going to heaven or not? How come she gets to decide? Was I really going to be excluded from eternal life because I didn't have a specific date? So I called my high school youth director and I asked her, did she know if I became a Christian? I said, do you know if I have a date? Can you tell me when I started to love Jesus? She said, Lindsay, do you love Jesus? I said, yes, I love Jesus. And she said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I said, no, yes, I totally do. She said, do you live your life as hard as you can in a way that Jesus would want you to live out what Jesus is calling you to do? I said, I do the best that I can, yes. She's like, then I think we're okay. You don't remember when you were born and yet you have life. You don't remember when you started on solid foods and yet you are able to digest things that are substantial. You don't remember when you started long division and yet you know how to thoughtfully work through a problem. Sometimes, she said, it's not about remembering where you started as much as it is about faithfully navigating the journey. College, Lindsay, had a lot of questions about salvation. And quite frankly, I think that we do too, even still. What does it mean to be saved? What is salvation? And we need to decide who gets to determine salvation. In the same way that this college friend of mine wanted to have some sort of very specific line to figure out if I was truly in or out of heaven, people have been trying to figure out ways of determining who else gets into heaven and who's stuck in eternal condemnation for as long as there have been people contemplating a God. And this passage that we have read this morning has been used time and time again as a way of making a determination. Remember the line, it said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This line has been used for a really long time by very well-meaning people and churches as an exclusivity clause, a way of weeding people out or threatening that if they don't get a date, then they're not going to be on the way and the truth and the life. But I have to tell you, the more that I spend time in this passage, the more I read the passage, I don't think that's the point of what Jesus is saying. Here's something we need to know as we look at this passage. If we go all the way back to the Old Testament, if we go back to our friend Moses, you'll remember one day he's walking around doing his thing and he comes across a bush that's on fire. But the bush isn't burning up. It's not being consumed by the fire. So naturally, Moses starts talking to the bush. Turns out that this bush is God revealing God's self to Moses and telling Moses that Moses needs to lead the people on a journey, lead them to the promised land. Moses says, that's fine, I'll do it, but I need to tell people who's telling me to do this. So who should I tell them has sent me to do this? In other words, Moses said, what is your name? And God uses the Hebrew word Yahweh. The word Yahweh means I am. And the cool thing about this word is that in Hebrew, verb tenses are kind of complicated. And so there's not really a verb tense for this name. And so when God said Yahweh, he's saying, I am who I am. I was who I was. I will be who I will be. But all across the span of time, I am. So then fast forward, when we get to the New Testament, when we get to the Gospel of John, John's very taken with this. And so 7 times in the Gospel of John, John tells us that Jesus says, I am. And he gives us all of these I am statements to describe who he is. It's a way of Jesus reminding us that Jesus is God, that the way of Jesus is the way of God. And here's the thing that I want to make sure we know about these I am statements as we look at one this morning. When you look at these I am statements, I am the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the good shepherd, the resurrection, the life, the door, the gate, the true vine, all of these statements are statements about who God is. The gifts that God gives to the people. Make statements about the work that God is doing for the good of the people. These statements, these I am statements that Jesus uses in the book of John, not a single one of them are conditional or a reflection off of what the humans figured out how to do. None of them are based on the actions of the people. All of them are statements about the actions of Jesus. And so in our passage this morning then, when Thomas says, Jesus, tell us how to get to where you're going. Help us get this on lock so that we're doing what we're needing to do to make sure we have our date solidified and we're in and all is good. Jesus responds with one of these I am statements, and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can get to the Father except through me. And when he says this, he's telling us who God is. He's telling us what Jesus is doing to save the world. This verse, this line that we've read, it's not anything about what we need to do, the decisions that we make, or the ways that we secure all of our dates so that we're confident we're going to heaven. It's actually not about us at all or who we are. It's all about the love and the grace and the mercy of who Jesus is. It is clear here in this passage that everyone who knows God because of Jesus. No one comes to the Father because they did some really cool stuff. Everyone comes to the Father because Jesus did some really amazing stuff. Salvation, then, is a gift from God. And we see that all through Scripture. We go even into the letters from Paul in Ephesians when Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not the result of your own doing. It's a gift from God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. One of my favorite Methodist preachers, Adam Hamilton, says grace in the New Testament refers to God's kindness, to God's love, to God's care, God's work on our own behalf, God's blessings, God's gift, God's goodness, God's salvation. But it's all even more than that. In all these things, they are undeserved. It's a pure gift. The good news, then, that we see in this passage is that it is not up to my college friend to decide about salvation. Jesus did that work. But it still begs the question, right? We still need to understand, what is salvation? What exactly are we being saved from? This past Friday night, I joined several hundred faithful folks from all over Atlanta to hear someone that I've referenced to you multiple times before, Nadia Boltz Weber. She is that real tatted up Episcopalian pastor that I've told you about before. I think I just actually mentioned her a couple weeks ago, but she was in town. She's doing this revival tour. And so a few of us went to hear her, and she kept talking about the need to proclaim the gospel. To be clear about the gospel, and when we don't know what else to proclaim, then we proclaim the gospel. But what's interesting is that she said the gospel is the forgiveness that God gives us, that we so desperately need. It's forgiveness for the broken, tattered, and worst part of ourselves. It's forgiveness for the awfulness that we offer to ourselves, to others, to God. It's the forgiveness for insisting that we're in control or that we need to have the power. It's the forgiveness for self-reliance and hatred of our neighbor. It's forgiveness that we think we don't need God or even actually want God. It's forgiveness that we sometimes believe that we are at our worst. When we are at our worst, that might actually be who we are. Forgiveness for what we allow, what we ignore, what we create, what we seek to fulfill us that will fall short. Forgiveness because we believe that we might just be whole and complete all on our own. The good news of the gospel of Jesus is that we are a forgiven people. that over and over again, God offers us forgiveness that only God can give. And my favorite line from the night, my favorite thing she said the whole night is she said, the beauty of the gospel is that we get to be reborn as many times as we want. Forgiveness upon forgiveness upon forgiveness. So maybe the good news of the gospel, maybe being saved means being restored, means being forgiven, means being made whole again and again and again. I have been here at Kairos for 15 months, and coming to Kairos was one of the most spiritually intense and amazing things that I have ever done. It was with such joy and humility and celebration when I announced that I had accepted the call to come here that so many of my friends were celebrating with me. It was so fun and so beautiful and so lovely. And this dear, dear friend of mine gave me this really beautiful gift. It was a bottle of Dom Pérignon. Now listen. I believe everything in life is better when it sparkles, including wine. And I love champagne in a very appropriate moderation type of way. And as much as I love champagne and sparkling wine, I've never had Dom Pérignon. Like, I never had even seen a bottle in real life. And now it's mine. I got to have it. I took it home and I showed my husband and we put it on the shelf and we just put it right there. We just left it right there. And then I thought about it. And the week before I started at Kairos, I went on this beach trip with a good friend of mine, a friend who had walked with me all through the journey of discerning coming to Kairos and had prayed for me and prayed with me. And we were gathering together at this beach this week to pray before I began my time here, to think about a 90-day plan, to talk sermon series, and to just really be intentional. And so I took my bottle. And I pulled it out one night, and I said, we're gonna celebrate, we're gonna cheers this time. And she said, no, this is special. You need to save that bottle. And I said, you know what? I did. I saved it for you. I saved it for this week. I saved it to be shared, to be enjoyed together. I saved it for this. I wonder when we talk about salvation, when we talk about Jesus being the way and the truth and the life, and that the way to the Father is through Jesus, I wonder if it means we're being saved for something. Something to be enjoyed, a relationship to be treasured. What if we're being saved for something? And let me tell you why I think this. You remember when I was rattling off all of the I am passages, one of the ones I said is, I am the vine and you are the branches. Jesus tells us that if we abide or dwell in him, that he will abide or dwell in us. And that when we are doing this, when we are abiding together, when we are connected to Jesus, that we will bear fruit. And that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And then you might remember at the beginning of the passage that we read today, it tells us that there are in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Again and again, we have this call that we stay connected to Jesus. That when we follow on this way that we have been given, when we stay connected to Jesus, that we will bear much fruit. Matter of fact, if you keep reading in chapter 14, if you keep on past where we're reading, Jesus will tell us that if we continue to abide in him, that we will do the work that Jesus does. And in fact, the scripture says, you will do even greater works than I, says Jesus. My point is, I don't think this passage is trying to decide who's in and who's out as much as it's an invitation and a celebration that we are being saved for this relationship with Jesus, that we are being saved for living and loving like Jesus. That salvation is not a promise for some sort of future reality, but a daily experience and call to experience the forgiveness of Jesus, and then to be a faithful follower of Jesus, to live and to love like Jesus, producing fruit for the kingdom of God. There is this old rabbinical parable about a man who has this dream that if he can climb the highest mountain, he will see the face of God. So he wakes up in the morning and he calls his rabbi and he says, all we have to do is climb this mountain and we will see God face to face. You need to come with me. And the rabbi said, that sounds great. So they take off on this journey. Well, as they begin journeying, they come across this man who is injured. So they stop to tend to this man. They take him into town. They get him set up. They pay some medical bills for him so that he will be able to receive care and resume their journey. They continue to journey. They run into a woman whose wagon has broken. It's on the side of the road. She cannot continue traveling. The good news is the man, the dreamer man, is also a carpenter. And so he says, I can help you. And he takes time to fix the wagon and get this woman back on her way. Well, by now it's late and they're not going to be able to finish their climb. And the rabbi says, we're going to need to find some place to stay. And the man said, oh, I actually know someone who lives close to here, but it's my brother and we haven't spoken in a long time. And the rabbi says, well, we have no choice. We need a place to stay. We're going to have to go. So they go to the house, they knock on the door, the brother opens and says, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so grateful that you have forgiven me and you've come to stay with me. And so they spend the night with the brother. As the parable goes, the next morning, they get up in the morning and they climb the mountain. They get to the top of the mountain and there was nothing new to see. So the man looks at the rabbi and he says, Rabbi, I didn't see the face of God. And the rabbi replied, oh, my friend, I've seen the face of God all along this journey. This is what it means for Jesus to be the way and the truth and the life. That when we are dwelling and abiding with Jesus, we are living, we're loving like Jesus. This is what we're being saved for. And so, my friends, may we not get hung up on our date or trying to figure out who's in and who's out, but may we celebrate the good news that we are forgiven, that we would hear and respond to the great invitation of living and loving like Jesus, that we would be on the way, that we would be in the truth, that we would be abounding in life because we have heard the invitation of the great I Am. Friends, we have been saved for the goodness of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.